Okay, we'll leave you all unmuted as long as it stays reasonably quiet. And I think we have a number of things to talk about tonight.
Good stuff.
Yeah. So I don't think Jax will be able to make it, right?
No, he can't make it, but he's anxiously waiting for the recording.
Okay. Jack had a really good question. Do we want to start with that? Now that I have.
It's a really good question. We were talking about it right before, so we're still kind of thinking about it.
Well, I'm not. I'm finished thinking.
Go ahead.
But,
I told him he was going to do most of the talking on this call anyway.
But basically, to put it in a nutshell, he's questioning the whole consciousness thing. And he's questioning it from part of it is his own ability to test. And frankly, I'm not even going to address that. I mean, that I tried for a long time, and all of a sudden it just clicked in for me, and I had something to test that with. So I had reason to believe. I had some comparisons that there's no way I could cheat, if you will. And so I'm not going to address that part. The part I want to address is Dr. David Hawkins' work. Of the three people on the call, how many of you have actually read Power versus Force?
I've read some of it,
okay.
Not all of it.
All right. I've got it on order. It hasn't come in yet.
Okay. Tom? You have? Was that a yes?
Tom usually has himself muted.
Oh, Tom's muted.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The buffet dinner just arrived. I'm muted. No, I've not read it.
Okay. Well, to be honest with you, I don't even encourage you to read it.
Well, here's the thing. So here's what Jack was asking. And Dan, we were getting some feedback on your line, so I've got you muted. So if you want to talk, do star two, and I'll try to, you know, unmute you when we do group question stuff. But Jack wanted to know, if I'm so in my consciousness, why don't I feel it? And power, and that's the problem with power versus force, right, Ed?
Well, yeah, that's the key piece of it. What I have experienced, first of all, let me give you some data, and this is my data, and you get to trust it or not trust it as you see fit. But what I get is that it was 2011 before Dr. David Hawkins reached the level of 800. Okay, and it when. In 2002, when he wrote the book, the maximum level of consciousness he was 655, which, by the way, in 2002 was pretty high.
Yes.
But it's not 800 plus. And now there's another piece to that too, though. Oh, by the way, before I even go any further with this, I want to tell you a test I made. Here's the statement I wrote. My perspective of all the issues related to Dr. David Hawkins' work has a degree of truth of X, and X is 98%.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I'm just telling you my truth. 98% is what I got. So 2% of what I'm telling you, it might not be right. So when he wrote it, he was about 655. Now, that's not the end of it, though. He didn't do all the measurements. He specifically talks about in the book how he had all these people who were students of his doing the measurements for him. Well, what I got is the average person doing the consciousness measurements for him for the book had a consciousness of 599. And I have a tendency to believe that number, because I know for a fact that for 64 years of my life, I was at 599. In other words, I didn't break through until just a couple of years ago above 600.
And the reason we're talking about what levels they were at is because Ed cannot test a level of consciousness above his level.
Well, that was the next thing is that I have found, and I believe this to be true, that you can't measure accurately a level of consciousness above your own. Now, So if he was 655 when he wrote the book, that suggests that in the 700s and 800s where he was saying that's mystical areas, few people will ever reach those kind of levels and so forth. He didn't have any way of really predicting that. Now, here's something I experienced, last year. I forget exactly when it was now. Time is doesn't mean a lot anymore, it seems to me. But I actually experienced the day that my test showed that John of God and the Dalai Lama both went to 1,000. Now, about the only reason I have to suggest to you that I think that's probably accurate is that I have found a number of people that I measure at 999.99 plus, but that 1,000 will not kick in. Mm-hmm. It just will not go to 1,000. The Dalai Lama has done that very, very consistently. The Pope, I believe,
The current Pope, not the last one.
The current Pope also clicked in at that level, I believe. Let me just check that real quick.
And just for a woo-woo comparison's sake, I had a feeling of truth when he said that at that time, too. I could feel a shift in their vibrations
because
that collaborated it.
I do get the Pope is there, too. Now, and I'll bet you, I may be wrong, but I'll bet you that, what Jack was saying, how come I don't feel, like, mystical? How come I don't feel enlightened?
I'm not walking on water yet.
Yeah, exactly. And so my guess is the Dalai Lama, if you looked at the Dalai Lama in his average day, probably the only time he feels enlightened is probably when he's meditating.
Well, I think that there's a huge misconception on what enlightenment is just because of the game that we've been playing. The Iron Age barely has any understanding of it at all.
Mm.
And I know that as we've progressed higher into levels of consciousness, I have felt more real, not less.
Mm.
So when we talk about enlightenment, we think of this floaty feeling that we get in meditation or things. I haven't felt floaty more, though I do feel slightly, I would say, dimensionally sometimes, but I haven't felt floaty more. I have felt more rooted, more grounded, more here in this game.
So it
could be that what we feel is actually opposite than we thought it would be.
Mm.
So the Dalai Lama may actually be the most real person on earth, essentially.
I got you, yeah.
That being enlightened is actually being completely tuned into the game and your higher self, which would not necessarily feel like floating off because that's not what this game is.
Yeah.
So all of that, which is to say, unless you're there, you don't know what it is. And so when he talks about it in Power versus Force in these kind of floaty terms, that was the best we had to describe it, kind of like a kid, you know?
Yeah.
When you're a kid and you think going to work must be the most cool thing in the world because you get to dress up in these nice clothes and disappear. You don't know about office politics and all that stuff.
So
we just don't know what enlightenment is, but we do know that we measure it in that especially at the thresholds of 600, 700, 800, 900, there's a shift that you feel.
Yeah. Now, and see, the thing is, something we did early in all of this work that we're doing, and as I think about it, I wish we kept doing it, and maybe we want to go back to it, because I remember distinctly, I know exactly the moment I shifted over 600. I know exactly what it is, this moment, because guess what? I was looking for it. I was literally in the place that whose intention, now, did I know that at that point that was 600 was the magic number? No, I did not, but I was there to breakthrough to this enlightening, how do they call it? It's the beginning of enlightenment, is what they would call it. Awakening, that's the word. Thank you, awakening. And so I knew exactly when it happened. There was literally this sort of a veil lifted.
No, that's exactly where it came to mind. We didn't meet Tom's over 700.
That's right.
And I didn't know this, that what I felt when I felt it was awakening until my pastor, who was in that movement, described it. And I was like, that's what I felt. I knew it was significant and huge, and that's what it felt like, a veil lifted.
So here's what I did early on. When someone was sitting at 599, I would call them on the phone. I'd get them on the phone. I said, look, all right, it's time. Are you ready to make this breakthrough? So I said, I would just be quiet, and I just want you to experience whatever you experience. Well, I can tell you more than half of the people had a significant experience.
Yeah, this is a big deal.
They literally, you know, over half. Notice over half means somewhat under half didn't feel anything.
Right.
But those that did, I mean, it was not insignificant. They felt a shift of some sort. And in fact, the very first time I did that, it wasn't the very first time. The very first time I did it totally remotely with a guy who happened to be in Phoenix. In fact, you guys know who it is, but I'm not going to tell you who it is. He was driving down the road when I called him, and he said, let me pull over at the shopping center. Let's do this now. And I did it, and I just started talking. I just started talking what I wanted to look for. And he embarrassed me by saying, would you like to know my experience? Which, of course, is the obvious question I should have asked to start with. And I did from that on. And then he described this experience that was just amazing. So,
can you share that, Ed, what the experience was that he had?
I don't remember enough about it. I just remember that he said, I flashed back to at some point in my early childhood and just re-experienced it, but I saw it from a different perspective. Something like that. But, I mean, it was powerful.
Wow.
But I don't remember the details, and it wasn't recorded or anything. So.
And the thing is once you hit those thresholds and you get into the next level, you get used to it, and it just feels normal.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like floaty anymore. So you might have a big watershed moment. I did, where it was just really significant and big and floaty, and I'm at a conference when it happened. But then, you know, I normalized it, and that perspective became my normal perspective.
That's exactly what happens, yeah.
So if you live in the clouds, eventually the clouds become home. And so hopefully, does that answer Jack's question? Do you think I would
like
to say that?
So enlightenment is not this fictitious, all of a sudden, the world doesn't mean anything. It's everything spiritual that we've been led to believe.
Yeah, and I think that's it. And I think it's because that's a very Iron Age understanding of it, and that's all we had. That's the only perspective we could see it from. And the closer that we get to 1,000, the more real this game is to me. The more I feel part of it and not disjointed from it. I feel part of it, and Patricia was on the lifestyle call, and we were talking about do you clear for manifestation? And we said, actually, a shift that I've had, and I don't know when it happened, is that manifestation is a byproduct of clearing. That I just know that when I'm going on my highest, great, in the path towards my highest, greatest good, whatever I need is going to manifest, period. So I don't worry about my manifestation anymore. I just clear for clarity to be moving on my highest, greatest good path. And I think this enlightenment is kind of like that. And that it's kind of how you feel is going to be a byproduct of what needs to happen. But as long as you're moving on your path to your highest, greatest good, that is moving into enlightenment.
Yeah, and Trisha, I want to go back to your saying, you're asking the question, do you remember what he experienced? It's insignificant, and I'll tell you why. Every single person that I have taken through that experience and who did feel something was totally different. Every individual was different.
Yeah.
So you can't predict what's going to happen. you might remember when I came back from India, it was in India when I had that veil lifted. It was just sort of it probably all happened within 1 second. I was literally just waiting for something to start, a program to start, and I was sitting right in front of a curtain, and I looked at the curtain, and all of a sudden the patterns in that curtain just started moving around and shifting and went to an amazing level of clarity.
And that's what happened.
That was it.
Well, that happens to me every time I shift up. Colors are brighter and different, and textures stand out more every time.
Interesting.
So,
interesting.
Yeah.
Should we, because you said, Ed, something about having the experience because you're looking for it.
Uh-huh.
So when you worked on us to raise our consciousness.
Yeah.
We weren't looking for anything because, at least I wasn't looking for anything because I didn't know to look. So.
Right.
Because we weren't doing that.
In the future, I will do that to the extent we can, depending on the numbers. But with you guys, we could have done it.
Mm-hmm.
And that is to get you on the phone and say, look, let's do this now so
mm-hmm.
you can, if you have the experience.
Mm-hmm. Well, this is germane to what you're doing as well, because in Jumpstart, we don't talk a lot about the consciousness. We say we're doing it, but we don't spend a whole lot of time
mm-hmm.
talking about it because it's for business market.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of have downplayed that part, knowing that it's happening and that they're going to see that shift in perspective as they go along. So the content is kind of oriented for them to be having those shifts without talking about them.
Got it. Well, that makes sense, yeah.
So as the content goes along in Jumpstart, we'll talk more about noticing what you experience in life around you and how things may stand out differently. And so we'll talk about these concepts. We don't say it's raising consciousness because that's too woo-woo for the market.
And keep in mind, you guys were all over 600 when you started Life's New Game.
Yeah. So you had already had that experience, is what you say.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You had already had that breakthrough with all the planetary things that were going on.
I think 800 is probably the next most significant where we've solved it, maybe. I don't know. But if you have clients who are under 600 and that are getting raised up above that, then, yes, you definitely could tell them what to look for in that case. And that it's a shift in perspective. You suddenly see things differently. It may
mm-hmm.
be colors. It may be sights and smells. It may be looking back at your childhood and realizing, hey, you know, Mom didn't really do that. She actually did this. You know,
mm-hmm.
I thought my whole life she would have done something bad, and now I realize she actually had done the best that she could in that situation.
Yeah, and you might remember what happened to me is right about a week coming back from India, all of a sudden my motivation, my inspiration, my creativity, my energy, my focus just jumped like crazy every single day for another week or so, and then it leveled out and it's been that way ever since. So that was
God,
a piece of
I
it.
Want
but,
that. I want that.
yeah,
I want that whole list. Can I have that, please?
yes. And let's see, was the other piece I want to say about that is, but what became very clear, it took months to get clear about this, but it's not just the consciousness. It is the combination of the clearing and the consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So neither one without the other has anywhere near the same impact.
Mm.
All right, that's that, I think.
That took a little longer than I expected, but hopefully everyone's still with us.
Well, and we're eager to get to the point of talking about. In fact, maybe we do that next. Talk about the
why don't we vote on that, because I've got Trisha's two questions here that we started, and I don't know if Dan and Tom have some.
But we addressed one. You talking about one that we already addressed, Trisha? Let's not repeat that one. Or you talking about another one?
Well, I'm just saying we'll pass the group. Are y'all ready to talk about automatic clearing?
Sure.
Yep. Bring it on.
All right, and let's Can you unmute Dan?
Are
you,
I did.
Dan is unmuted. Okay, great. So, gosh, what do you want us to talk about? Tell me what's on your mind, your questions, your...
Why don't you do a quick verbal recap of what it is we've got? Because they just did the work, the visual, but...
Yeah. Well, I, to be honest with you, the words we put in that email, I think, are true, and that this is doing what we didn't think was possible. We had someone tell us that it was possible, and so we decided to experiment with seeing about the possibility, and sure enough, and a number of individual tests as well as some group tests, it absolutely clears. It does it a little differently. It does use our process, but to make it easier to do, what it does is go through every single clearing element at the same time. And in other words, it goes through them sequentially, but what I find is it only clears an individual to the extent they're ready for that particular clearing. So you literally take them through, was it 2,800 or 3,500? What is it now today?
I don't know. I just added a bunch. It's probably 2,950 or
okay. All right. So almost 3,000 different clearings and beliefs and so forth, those kinds of things. So it goes through that, and our experience is consistently it takes 52 to 54 minutes to take people through that, and it doesn't matter how large the list is of people. So... And so, of course, our tests are very, very simple. We've gone to people, not you guys, because you guys are so cleared that it would be too hard to measure. So what I do is I go to people who have never experienced life's new game at all, do the basic tests, the anger, the worry, the fears, those kinds of things, caring, et cetera. Run them through it, the 54-minute thing, an hour later, come back and test, and son of a gun, they have significantly reduced. Now, if somebody's got maybe, say, 4 or 40% on the anger scale, you run them through one time, they may be 25% on the anger scale. But there's no reason not to run them through. So we've been doing it consistently, for instance, once a day. So
it's really awesome because one thing I'm really excited about is we no longer have to have the discussions of what week do we clear what, because it clears everything all at once, and their higher self only will clear what they're ready for. But if somebody's ready for their fear to be cleared in week one, we may no longer have to wait till week three.
Yeah.
We've done all at the same time.
Yep.
So that's
something
I really appreciated.
So I think that was Dan. Dan, you're thinking about your training courses, aren't you?
Right?
Yeah.
No, that's for you and Gail and Elizabeth especially, because you get these last minute things, right? And you don't have 6 weeks to prepare to prep them.
Yeah.
Right.
That's why I prepare everything that they can clear in the up to 2 weeks as much as you can.
Yeah. So. To be honest with you, it concerned me at first. Because I felt like, oh my gosh, it seems like you're overloading the system somehow.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen absolutely no indication that there's any limiting factor at all. It's only for the good. And the only thing I can figure is it is their higher self will absolutely not do it, or will only do it to the extent they're ready for it.
And how did this show up, Ed? How did you find this?
Well, that's a long story. But I first, it had to do with some of the healing stuff that I've been through.
Mm.
And in the process of doing that, I discovered some things were being already done that I thought were impossible.
Mm.
And the more I investigated, the more I realized that there are a very few people on the planet who probably could write software that literally connects with the energies that we're connecting with to do this work. And so I eventually was put in touch with one of these software developers. He lives out in the middle of nowhere in Arizona. And I talked to him, and you know, I asked him, and he tried to explain how it worked. And he said, I have to get my, I'm trying to remember exactly what he said, but he said, basically, he said, I need to get myself in a pure, clear environment. He said, I cannot write the code without being totally clear myself. And by the way, I tested his level of consciousness, 999.99 plus.
Wow.
And no anger or very little anger, high caring, and the only one that of the five things that we look for world class was he had a bit of his invisible mask showing. He said, oh, yeah, that makes total sense. He said, I can turn it on and off as I want to. Because of a relationship situation I have, I can't leave it off all the time. So
from a quantum understanding, the computer program actually puts the vibration out to the quantum field and gets it done. And it has ebbs and energy put into that. It uses our process, but it also has energy of the developer and a good friend of ours who's a very high-level healer. Who has graciously put theirs into it as well. So it's quite amazing. We've been testing it, and it's working really well.
So is it using your process because you shared it with him, or was he using it? I mean,
we had to give him the process.
Right. Okay.
And by the way, when he did the coding with our process, he came back to us and he said, that is a powerful process. and he said let's take our time to really test this to make sure that, you know, it's we're doing what it's think it's doing, because that's an extremely powerful process. And so, you know, we spent the last 3 weeks, I think, in testing, and I've tested it everywhere I can think of. And Dan, you know how you were asking the question about, hey, could I just create a list of things I want to clear?
Wow.
Right? I don't know if you, well, this is interesting because one of the options we have, and I have proven this to be true too, and wow, if you ever thought any of our work is woo-woo, this will probably fit that. But literally, we can create a sheet of a list of people, and in the database, you put groups, and you give the group a name, and you write, and he said this is important, so I just trust him. You write in your handwriting the name of that group on top of the piece of paper, and you lay that piece of paper on the computer and tell the system to clear that group. And it works. It really does.
It's the leverage we've been looking for, because we, you know, we put a lot of time and energy into this clearing, and so we were kind of stuck at how to bring this to, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, or even tens of thousands of people the way we're doing it currently. So, and it bothered us quite a bit that we were not able to give you the level of consciousness piece, because that's a very specific gift.
Now, I got to tell you, that piece is a surprise, and he doesn't even know that we've done that piece.
Oh, we didn't tell a developer we were doing that, right?
I have reasons not to want anyone else to know at this point. But what we did is, we essentially created the protocol. Part of the system allows you to add a protocol. And so I just created a protocol. And by the way, the first one I did not work. And I reflected on it. I did some testing. And the second one I did worked. And it, every time you run it, it raises consciousness by an average, depends on the person, but I would say average of 4 or 5 points.
Wow.
So if you look at that, 4 or 5 points, let's say it's 4 points, and if you're taking people through a 42-day process, which is our 6-week process, then that's, 160, 170 points, raising consciousness over that time if you did it once a day. So.
So what's next about this? I mean, what's the plan?
Well, the question is, what does this mean to you guys?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Is this of significant interest to you?
Well, yeah.
Okay. And so, you know, right now, there's a little dilemma here going on that I just need to be honest about. Some people haven't even given us a list of 3 people to raise their consciousness.
Yeah, that's true.
So in that scenario, and of course you guys are all clearing whatever you clear, and I have no idea who you're clearing except when you come to us for the consciousness piece.
Right.
So the question, I don't know if the numbers at this point in time, and you know, the pricing combined with the numbers support us doing this at this point in time, except for ourselves. We can, frankly, we can use it the way it is now just for ourselves. It is not, however, usable by other people as it stands right now. So just talk to me. I'm assuming that the question is, the question is, what is it worth to you, and what does that mean to us, and does all this work together so that we should, you know, get him to take it to the next level?
So Ed, here's my thought.
Right.
It changes the game in terms of business model. You see, you're able to put clearing into mass production. From my perspective, I'm just doing some one-on-one coaching with, you know, I don't know, you know, 20, 25, 30 people over the course of a year.
Mm-hmm.
So, and, you know, the trick here is, the obstacle here is that this is a black box. And I
mm-hmm.
do like that word in this context.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess now that I understand this possible, I think I have to go and say, okay, well, what does this do? How might I change my business model, my way of working with, you know, the quantity and the way in which I work with people?
Mm-hmm.
To take advantage of this, and I don't have the answer to how that would work for me
mm-hmm.
at the moment, because
it's
a new game.
Gotcha. Well, Tom,
it's a new game.
I agree, it's a new game, and you don't know what that new game looks like yet. So I want you to answer a simple question: would it be worth to you? Let's say you do 20 people in a year, and what you would have paid us is $150 per person to do the consciousness raising. And if you do the math, 20 times 150 is $3,000 a year. Is it worth it to you to have this capability for that if you could have it?
I'm not sure I understand the question yet. And let me say that again.
I'll say
in
it
other
again.
Words, we're paying you $150, 150 person times X amount of people. Well, what's different with this model?
And I'm just saying, would you be willing to pay that same amount to get the whole through the whole clearing process?
Sure. You know, $150. I mean, just quickly, here's my model. I break it into phase one, phase two, phase three. Generally, phase one is I want to minimize. Sometimes I'm hired by HR people, or sometimes I'm hired by the individual. And my phase one is using a trimetric debriefing. And so they usually see so much value from that that either, A, I've worked myself out of a job because we fixed whatever behavior conflict, and that's okay. Or, B, we move on to a leadership development process, a holistic inside-out leadership development process whereby Life's New Game just enhances it. I mean, it puts it on steroids. So... and then phase three is ongoing developmental coaching, you know, laser focus, perhaps even telephone coaching sessions. So in the grand scheme, my phase two is generally $6,000-$7,000. So what's $150 in that? It's nothing.
Okay. I assume that. Although that's even higher than I thought it might have been phase two. So congratulations. Good model. Yeah.
All you got to do is believe in yourself. Before you believe you're worth it.
Seriously,
once you believe it. I mean, I've been at this almost 14 years now, and I didn't always believe I was worth it. Now I do.
Right. And yep, I hear you. I hear you.
Well, if you don't want breakthroughs, go somewhere else and just have do a spray and pray thing with them. That's fine.
Yeah. So you're a no-brainer in that sense, and the reason is because you're – investment per person is high. Now,
yes.
Dan, if you don't mind me picking on you, you get a totally different model, my friend.
Yeah, but Dan's working on
model.
Dan's trying to adapt.
I'm on the same model, so it applies to me too.
Applies to him, Jason.
Well, talk to me about your model, Dan. I'm sorry, what? Would you be willing to talk to us about your model, your business model?
It's the same.
It is?
Let me just share with you, Dan has become an affiliate of mine. We launched GreenBayExecutiveCoaching.com about 3 weeks ago. It's not doing much yet. But I'm helping Dan move away from doing salespeople into higher-level executives.
Oh, cool.
He's under my wing.
Okay.
Would you need to give up the sales group if you had...
No, I plan to do this for salespeople, too. This is just going to be another piece of it, that's all.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, so, because you need to have a higher ticket income stream, definitely.
Yeah, it's just another income stream that I've kind of done this work but never really had a model. So now I have a model.
Awesome.
Gotcha. Okay. So far what I'm hearing is that the concept of, hey, the consciousness part costs you $150 a person anyway, so generally you've got no issue with $150 a person to have it all done and have the software right there available to you to manage the whole thing, you know, as you get the people, you know, coming in, you put them in the system and, you know, you're doing that. But you're putting in the system, but the system's doing the work.
So, Ed, if you're saying, Tom, would you like more efficiency for the same price? I would say sure.
Okay. And Dan, you feel the same way?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
That's why I gave you the order to begin with.
Yeah, come on.
Remember?
You talking about sign me up, Dan?
Yeah. Right? I saw that from the beginning, and it's like, okay, yeah, I want to know that. You know,
he didn't say what does it cost. He said, sign me up.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay. All right, great. And Tricia, tell me about you, because you got a totally different business.
Yeah, so for me, the plan on using Life's New Game and the clearing process has more to do with the business I don't have yet. So that's the career transition program, helping people with uncovering career, transitioning career, whatever that I talked about when we were together in Denver. That's
yeah.
why I envisioned using this for, because those people are clearly blocked in many, many ways, right? So,
yeah.
So what's next is to create the pilot workshop, which would not be revenue generating. That would probably be a free pilot for a small group of people to start to gather evidence. And then the next step after that would be to start marketing a program. And for those people, both in the pilot and beyond, absolutely. I mean, $150 a pop to have that done, that would be amazing. Plus, I would have the program to essentially frame the notion that because they went through this program, they got so much value, which would create a whole another group of people, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We need to create evangelists. I mean, just for
exactly,
all of us.
Exactly. So absolutely. I mean, I think that would be a pittance in terms of
yeah.
of the value that they would get. But I'm down the road with that. I wouldn't be doing it now. I won't be doing it until the program's actually up and running. I mean, I would
right.
love to experiment okay. with it, but, you know, obviously.
Yeah, okay, so you don't see using it in the selection of business.
You know, I haven't thought about it. I'm so focused on trying to get this other thing going.
Okay.
That, you know, I just haven't thought about it. I'm not excluding it. I mean, sure. You know, if
yeah.
I could figure out a way of making that work in order to make, you know, hiring managers clearer and, you know, working teams more clear and all that, I mean, sure, I would do that. But I don't know that I would market that as part of my service, where I would market it as part of my service on the other thing.
Gotcha. Okay.
And you wouldn't have to market it as part of the hiring service, but, you know, especially if you're doing benchmarking, if you could clear the team before you start
oh,
the benchmarking.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah. That would be golden. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So are you thinking, Ed, that this would be sort of like a kind of like TTI, we buy assessments, we get a bill at the end of the month or something. So we would just, you know, use X number for so many people and just pay a fee for that.
That's a real possibility.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's your model?
And well,
not that we have to have an answer right now, because I think this requires some thought. I get that. I respect
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Well, it's a game changer for us, too.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's one of the things, it just so happens that the people on the call tonight are similar enough, and there are some others that are, I think Gail and Elizabeth are much more oriented to training, right? So I really don't know. So we're really wanting to, we see that people like you guys are the primary market, as I see it, at least. In other words, people who are making a difference for other people through coaching, training, consulting, and that's where we see a leverage opportunity to do that through you. Now, we also see, I'm just going to brainstorm, just share some perspectives with you. For instance, suppose Tom, you're Dan, are working with a high-level manager, mid-sized company perhaps, and this manager has some real breakthroughs with your work, and in the process, perhaps you let them know, you get to know them well enough, you know what you can talk to them about and what you cannot talk to them about. And for those that you can talk more openly, you get to share with them, you know, part of the reason you're having these breakthroughs, let me tell you what's been going on. And you know, you're open about that. And you say, you know, one of the possibilities here, guys, is we could actually do this work for a team of people. And in that environment, we might actually have a product that is specifically aimed at a team of people. For instance, in a specific organization, a management team or a particular team, for some fixed fee or something, but it's a dedicated kind of a program. So we're just looking at how do we have the biggest possible difference on the greatest possible difference on the greatest number of people on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and how do we help you make what you're doing easier?
Easier and more effective.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And less time consuming. My God, I mean that alone is huge.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now the one thing it doesn't do is measure. It shows you that it's clear
and how much
it's cleared in that session, but it doesn't measure. That's the one thing it doesn't do.
Mm-hmm.
So it can't say, okay, their anger's down to 20%. You have to actually test that.
Okay.
Yeah. It does give you some hint about the levels, but you're going to have to measure if measurement is important.
It may not be.
In fact, I have been, one of the things that blows my mind is I said, well, how in the world does this system know whether to clear a statement to the positive or to the, to 100% or to zero?
Right. Mm.
And all I can tell you is I have tested hundreds of these statements that we have, and it's always been in the right direction.
Right.
It's always in the right direction. So it just works.
It sounds very interesting to me.
Yeah.
So at this point, I think we're trying to figure out what the figures would be for us to finish it out.
That's right.
For y'all
That's
to
right.
be able to use it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we can figure out what the costs are going to be and how we're going to spread that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So what we need to do, and I think we can wrap up this conversation unless there's something else that comes up. What we need to do is talk to Jack. I don't know what his model is. Talk to Elizabeth and Gail.
And Phil's on the airplane. He sends his regrets. He wishes that he were here with us.
Yeah. But, we need to obviously come up with something that works with everybody's business model.
Are there any other questions
about that or anything?
No, about that. We're just
Make sure we're complete here, and then we'll move on.
All right.
Okay. All right. So now, are there any other questions about anything?
Well, I have a story to share.
Oh, great.
And I don't know. We don't really know what really happened here, but I had a coaching client. I was hired by an HR person. They had a young person that they're promoting to be the director of accounting at this manufacturing supply company. And so I did my phase, talk about my model, I did my phase one and so I had three coaching sessions with this young woman, and in those sessions she said, well, I want to move this along. I need to get to your phase two, which is a holistic leadership development process, because I can't get my promotion until I've gone through through phase two. So I moved it along, and I scheduled our kickoff for phase two for actually today. But I had to postpone the meeting because I went back to the HR person that brought me in, and I said, so here's the deal. It's a $6,400 fee to go to phase two. She says, oh, well, we talked about it on the phone. We talked about what it was. She says, well, I have to get approval for that, and I'm getting some pushback. And, what can you give me to talk about? Where's the value here? Like, oh, geez, here we are back to square one. So So I did gave her, I'm a reasonably good writer, and I understand what I'm talking about here, and I understand how to, basically I sent an email that I don't have your answers, but I've got questions that fit your scenario. I mean, you want to replace this woman, what's it going to cost you? You want to promote this woman if it doesn't work out and you have to replace her because you can't demote her, what's it going to cost you? If, in fact, she becomes a great leader and people are the metrics of that, whatever job, whatever they are, go up 20%, what's that give you? So I put that in about a 3-paragraph email, which I don't normally like to write emails that long because you should pick up the phone, except that I knew she had to pass this upstairs. And so once I did that, I said, you know, I think I need to clear this woman's boss and the president. Actually, I was just thinking of the boss. It turned out the president was in play also. So I just, you know, I did a clearing for whatever concerns they have about developing this woman, and then the costs were involved. And so today I got the green light.
Yay. Nicely done.
Wow.
So, you know, was it going to happen anyway? I got a little email that, you know, because it was more than $5,000, it had to get stamped by 2 levels above. So maybe it was going to happen anyway, but it happened. That's all I can
say. Yeah, yeah. Well, and is it also possible that your writing has, Now I know you're a good writer,
yes.
Tom. As you well know, I appreciate your writing, and I hope you're working on a project for me right now.
Well, tomorrow morning, Ed.
All right. Okay.
Because I'm on. Last night there's a hockey game. Tonight there's a call. I've got a house guest. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry if the hockey game's getting in the way of the call.
No game tonight. It's basketball tonight. I don't care so much about that.
Oh, that's okay. But you, one question you might ask yourself, and I, you know, the answer may not be what I would like to hear it be, but is it possible that even that writing was a bit more clear and a bit more focused and a bit more just right on target because of the higher level of consciousness, the invisible mask is gone, just putting it out there the way it is at a higher level? That's a question. You don't have to answer it, but, you know, that's a potential.
You know, sometimes a 2% incremental improvement, you know, makes a big difference. Who am I to say what percentage or whatever?
Exactly.
You know, and I tell this to my clients, and this is before Life's New Game, that, you know, every engagement I have is better than the last. And so if you're to hire me a year from now, I'm going to be better, but do you want to wait? <You know?
laughs> That's good. That's good.
Really good.
All right. Super. All right. Who's got another story or question?
Well, Liz, you've got my questions. Do you want me to, read them or?
Yeah. Let's see. Let's start with this one. Because this is a quick answer.
All right.
A quick one for you, Ed.
Quick one for me.
Yeah. I recall you saying that you don't measure individuals in a group unless something feels off. At what point do you decide to measure everyone, if ever? So we don't measure everybody individually anymore.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm just jumping around measuring different pieces for different people and make sure that through a process over a couple of weeks that I'm measuring everybody on something. And as long as we're seeing improvement, I've built confidence that, hey, if their worry went down, guess what? Even though I didn't measure their a fear of snakes, it also probably went down because we cleared that too. But so, you know, I just make sure we test enough to be very comfortable that every person is indeed
improving.
Improving. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And I tend to do more on like the angers because that's such a huge piece. I want to make sure everybody is reducing in the anger category. So I might put a look. If I got only got five people, I'm probably going to measure the first anger I clear. I'm going to measure that anger on all five of them that first time. But as long as it's going down, I'm probably not going to worry about it from then on.
That's a great segue into the next question, actually,
okay.
Because the next question was, lately, one of the people I'm clearing has been short with people in customer service situations, and he hadn't been that way before, so his anger had already been cleared.
Mm.
So why would this be happening, was the question. Did I say that right, Tricia?
Yeah, so this is someone I'm clearing covertly, and I'm getting feedback from the spouse. And this is after clearing week four.
Yeah, because we've done a lot with the emotions. Because anger, fear, and love, worry, anxiety has all been cleared. So was it you or was it Claire that happened to where you got short with customers around that time? Do you remember that happening?
No, this is Claire's husband.
Oh, yeah, but it happens to one of you two during Jumpstart, so it wasn't you then.
No, it was not me.
So it was really weird. It happened to someone in Jumpstart and in that almost exact same scenario. So we're clearing, and except they were over instead of covert. And they realized that they were short with a customer on the phone, which they almost never were. And they were having these feelings in some irritability, and they didn't know where they were coming from. And they're like, I thought we cleared all this. Why would this be getting worse when I thought I was just fine? And while they thought that they were just fine, what they had been doing is stepping down their emotions for all that time, or as Ed likes to say, trying to manage anger.
Yeah.
And even when you manage anger, it's still there. So what happened is they're getting it all cleared, and so they were feelings that they hadn't felt in a long time, and they just weren't used to feeling anymore. So it's kind of a transition period that they get over pretty quickly. Usually, I think within a week that was over. But they had to – the emotions are – you're feeling them as they are flowing through. And if there was a lot of anger that was stressed down, there's a lot of anger that flows through, but it does it pretty quickly.
Yeah,
okay.
And when Liz shares this kind of stuff that I have no clue about, you know what I do? I just test the truth of what she's saying, and I just got it 100% true. So, I don't know if it's also always has to be that way. I think some people probably react differently.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So, but when that happens, that's kind of what's happening.
So you're saying that this is still the anger that's coming through from week one?
It can be, because around week four, it's not just the anger that's clearing. There's so many other factors that are clearing there. And by week four, all the stuff has cleared or is clearing around stuffing your emotions down. So remember, the anger's not all gone. It's just that you have an appropriate amount of it. So he may be having the appropriate amount of irritation or anger. It was customer service, after all. And some customers are just, you know, get the twit. So, but his mechanisms for handling that are going to have to shift because he's feeling again. So he may have been doing great with customer service before because he turned off his emotions. Well, now we've cleared all that stuff so that he can be balanced. And so he's feeling the anger. But now it's going to flow through. It doesn't get stuck. And so he just lets it pass through. You know, taking three deep breaths is enough to do it. But you just let it pass through, and then you move on. And when this happened to somebody in Jumpstart, it was overt, so I was able to tell them that. Covertly, I think he will still be clearing, and it will still equalize.
Okay.
If you can't say it to them directly, in this case, you can say it to the spouse, and the spouse can mention it.
Okay.
Yeah, and you can also always clear triggers to what's happening, too.
And you can clear them to see a way to help excuse me, to address the emotion in a healthy way. If you or the spouse can't say something, then they'll just meet somebody who says it at the right time. Like the woman who said grace and ease to me at the right time, so I've been clearing that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it came out of the blue, which is one reason I knew I needed to clear it, because it was stuck out like a sore, a beautiful flower. and it's out of blue from nowhere. So I'm like, okay, this is a message, and this is something I need to clear. So you can clear them to see the messages like that that will help them to do the anger in a healthy way.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Any other questions?
I've got to be scooting, so great session. Wow.
Great. Thanks, guys, and good luck to those Midwest hockey and basketball teams.
I do have one little question, but if you guys have about
okay.
five more minutes.
If you have to scoot, go ahead and you go, but go ahead, keep going for sure.
Okay,
Tricia.
Thanks.
Thanks, everybody. Yep.
Bye.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Nice.
So I'm convinced that I'm having issues testing. And I just, you know, I started using a pendulum instead just to see if it was the finger testing that was off or whatever. And I was trying to test people's levels. And first of all, when I would ask for a level, so I'd say, okay, is this person's anger, let's say, at 10%? And I would get nothing. It would stay still. And then I'd say, is it at 20%? And then it would start moving. And by the time I get to like 60%, the pendulum is just like going back and forth like crazy, right? So I'm thinking that it's not just saying yes to 20% because it is 20%. It's saying yes at 20% because it's 20% and up.
Okay,
so I kept
let me
on.
Let me stop you right there.
Okay.
I would suggest you say 20% or greater.
Oh, okay. Okay, good. That's so simple. All right. So say 20%
or
greater.
20%
or
greater. And if you come in the other way, you know, it doesn't matter. Always go or greater. You're asking really specific questions, and when you say, is it 20%? Well, no, it's not 20% because it's 21. But if you don't say or greater, it's not going to say yes.
Okay. So then when I started, you know, on the ones that I wanted to get to, let's say, 100%, that would be the,
mm-hmm.
you know, the goal would be to get 100%, I was getting over. So how high can it go?
Yeah, it probably shouldn't go over 100%.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Yeah. My testing is off, and I don't know how to fix it.
Yeah. You know, the only thing I know to suggest is to write down everything you can think of that you want to clear related to testing. And I always say write everything you can think of because sometimes you don't know what it is, and you can always say don't need to know.
Mm-hmm.
But I use don't need to know a lot. But I also write down the best way I know to describe it. You want to clear any emotions or any emotions getting in the way of my testing effectively or accurately.
Right.
Any issue that is in the way of me testing accurately, that kind of, just whatever you can think of, then clear those.
Okay.
And see if that helps.
Okay. I will do that. Thank you.
And it wouldn't hurt to do, just also put in there just a little request, if you need an upgrade to your matrix to be able to test more accurately, just let them know that you're open for that.
Oh. Okay. Right.
They might be able to give you a little more.
You know, we might want to just put some in our clearing.
That's what I'm thinking, too.
Yeah. to help people do testing. Yeah.
So that we're going to put some things, now you know about the software we've been testing it so well, I'm going to add this to our list.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that's in the spreadsheet is in the software, so they're synonymous. But I'm going to add some stuff on the spreadsheet for clearing around testing.
Mm-hmm.
And so
okay.
If you're going to do Ed's method of writing down everything you can think of that might be in your way, if you could, like, if you do that electronically and send me a copy, I'll add it to the spreadsheet.
Okay.
And that would be great for you and for everybody, because then we get it for
mm-hmm.
everyone.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to think about how evoking an upgrade is something I hadn't thought about before, and so that might be a new.
Yeah, that's a brand new thought. I didn't even know about that. That's a great idea.
It just came out of nowhere, so we just may have been given a new skill that I didn't know we had. This is how it happens. It happens a lot.
Yeah.
So we're going to do some testing and talking around that, and I'll get back to you. But
okay.
You definitely can talk to them about that, and I'll see if we can do that on your behalf.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
It's something different we did with certification is what I'm getting to. I mean, we have to be able to clear other people.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. So this may be given a more broad gift here, so I'm going to check on that.
Okay.
Yeah,
Thank you. Appreciate that. Put in
there specifically for testing, right?
Yes.
All right. Good. Good.
Yeah. Good.
Okay.
Well, I am complete with that question.
All right.
Well, now, I have one since we are still on the phone. We've those of us and all of our certification people are TTI and understand this. And so, we look at high D's and the inherent emotion is anger, and we look at high C's and the inherent emotion is fear. As a person that almost pins the eye chart on DISC, optimism is not always the best emotion. And to what extent have we addressed that in clearing?
Mm.
Being overly optimistic.
Yeah, that's a really
yes.
good point. That what we want all these things to be is ideal. So the
yeah.
question in my mind is, does it, when we clear for optimism, does it automatically go to 100% or does it become what's ideal for that person?
Well, in that case, 100% would be balance. So it would be what's ideal for them.
Highest and greatest good, of course.
Yeah.
I just wonder to what extent that we've even dealt with optimism, over enthusiasm, over trust, over or under trust. To what extent have we covered that?
Well, I don't know if we've done optimism, but I do know about the other ones. And so I just got an insight as to why the software can do it, even though we didn't tell it whether it should be 0 or 100.
What's that?
Because it's balanced.
Hmm.
So it's automatically going to balance those to their highest, greatest good. If they need their game to be everybody stomps on me and everybody hates me, then they're going to, that's going to stay pretty high because that's what they need for their game to do. And, of course, that's ridiculous, but I did that on purpose. So if their game needs them to be 20% optimistic, then they will balance at 20%.
Yeah.
So yes, Tom, in a way we have addressed it. Optimism, I'm not sure. And since you brought it up, it means it's time to look at it. So I'll make sure it gets added.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
A little personal example of how that comes into play. I did some, actually it was non-coaching work for a quote-unquote business friend of mine. And I knew that he's kind of struggling in his business and, actually, he's kind of a social media consultant. He writes LinkedIn profiles. And there's some irony in the story is why I mention this. Because we're Facebook friends, right? And I'm on Facebook this week for the last 10 days. Well, basically, he owes me over $1,000, and I've given him extended terms, and he pays me here and there, $100 at a time. Well, he's over in Hawaii with his wife for 10 days. What kind of, how gullible am I? What kind of,
So yeah. Am I over-optimistic and over-trusting, and has he sold me a bridge to some degree? Am I susceptible to that? Yeah, I know. But now I'm a little bit miffed.
Yeah, sure, sure. Well, and something along those lines, if I'm a high D and I get anger under control, am I no longer a high D?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Yeah. My thoughts exactly.
You're just more of Ed than you were, but, you know, I guess there's some, you know, there's some consciousness to it.
But isn't that how you all, I don't know DISC that well.
Yeah.
So y'all take this all with a big grain of salt, because I don't know DISC that well. But it seems to me that that's supposed to be the way you operate, not just the way you feel. So you
it's behavior. It is specifically behaviors. But the question is, do your behaviors change if...
Well, you can still be demanding without being angry about it.
Yeah.
You can still...
Yes, but... I don't know.
I don't either.
I'm still hearing Ed. Let me just interrupt. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I got a kick out of you, Ed, because you have this Bonstetter, not obsession, but drive, right? And it came up on the call last night, and last week. And I don't know if you remember, I said, so, you know, Ed, why is that so important to you? You know, I know it's a burr in your saddle or whatever you want to, you know, metaphor you want to use. And so I got a kick out of it. So, I mean, whatever level of consciousness you have, there's a, you know, part of that is there's an assertiveness there. And is there some emotion when, you know, if, you're not getting what you want when you want it. I mean, that's what happens with ID.
Yeah, that's right.
We can't expect who we are to just go away.
No.
Well, going back to the comment that Liz always makes that anger is there for a reason and there's a positive value to anger,
yeah.
I think that if you're clearing a high D, the anger doesn't go away. I think it transforms into something more effective.
Mm.
I mean, I think the anger is still there. I mean, the by design, high Ds have a short fuse because they can change gears quickly, and they can get angry just as quickly as they can calm down. I mean, they forget it in like a minute. So, you know, that has a purpose, especially when you're looking at an entrepreneurial CEO. It's a good thing in that context. So I think it's all about really formatting the idea of what anger is.
And right. I always tell my daughter, you know, anger, you feel angry, but you choose how your response.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's a level of steam that builds up. Now, what happens when, how that steam is released, it varies from, you know, it varies, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
but it doesn't have to build up. It can flow through. Because it's when it builds up, it's getting stuck, so that's the problem. But it can just flow through. You can still feel the anger and let it pass through like a cloud and then make your decision on how you're going to respond. And so clearing maybe gives you that space to make that decision.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well put. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think we're going to change people's DISC profiles anytime soon, no matter how great we get at clearing.
Well, I think you're right. It is a question in my mind. Yeah.
But it would be an interesting conversation to have with Bonstetter about what aspects of the expression of one's behavioral traits can transform.
It would be an interesting question.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's what we looked at when we were doing some stuff with the emotional quotient testing to see if that was one of the things that changed, and it isn't always. We didn't find enough consistency in the results to continue using that one. Am I right?
Well, we haven't tested it well enough, I don't think. We didn't get enough people to respond the second time.
Yeah, and you have to have not enough for statistical analysis. But
I think it's worth trying again, but we don't know yet. What I know is what happened to me. Do you guys
you guys have been CTI people for a long time. If you were to take the emotional quotient test now, is it clear to you exactly what ideal is on that test?
What ideal is?
Yep.
Well, I mean, I guess the theory is that ideal is 100 on everything.
It varies, depending on the question.
Yeah.
Here's my take, this is just my take on TTIZQ test. When I first took it, as opposed to the other trimetrics type survey questions, I could see, I just sensed when I first took it that if I wanted to make myself look better than I really was, that I could. I felt I could beat that test. I sensed I could. Mm-hmm. Now, when I take it, I'm looking for some truth. And so I am trying to take it from a lot of people that do take it, that's not the goal.
Yeah, and which means it's not a very good test if you can predict.
Right. Now, that's that. I for a while, I just backed off and said, I don't trust it. I don't like it. I'm not going to use it. But I came back and said, you know what? It is a tool, and like any tool, it allows you to frame discussions around things that are important. And so whether you relied on it, what do you lie to? You didn't lie. We're talking about things that can raise awareness and lead to meaningful change. And so I let go of my bias if I don't like it.
There you go.
It does give me the thought that you could, before you have people take a test, it would be a good idea to clear them to answer to their highest, greatest good.
Ah, that's an idea.
That's a great idea.
It's a good idea, for sure.
Yeah. Wow.
Hey, guys, I have to hop off.
Okay. We're all going to hop off.
We're past curfew.
Sorry.
But thank you.
Didn't mean to interrupt the flow there. I just didn't want to just leave without saying goodbye.
Tricia, one more. Before you say goodbye, let me just share one thing.
Sure.
I've been doing a little bit of what your new practice is shaping up to. Just for what it's worth, go to ChicagoExecutiveCoaching.com and then go to the menu and find Career Direction Coaching. I think you'll gain something, and maybe we can have a conversation offline about how I do what I do and